Welcome to the third episode of
Fire Emblem.
You sound like the Brigand Critical, dude. you know when he goes to Critical, he's like,
boom. This episode is about the Brigand Critical.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember the only time I've ever actually seen the Brigand Critical was like in a video where like Gonzalez used like a doubles axe or something, and like he criticaled himself or something. I don't remember the details.
The first time I ever saw the Brigand Critical was when I was doing my mod for Requiem of War, and there was a glitch. There's that scripted event where Lynn automatically gets a critical if you're doing the normal playthrough, and for some reason the script reversed itself, so no matter what you did, whenever you attacked the Brigand, it would critical and it would automatically kill Lynn. Understand what had happened, but I just kind of just stared dumbfoundedly, like,
oh my god, that's hilarious.
That happened.
Doesn't the Brigand have like zero critical too?
Yeah, zero critical. So I was like, yeah, no, it don't make sense. No, brain broke. No.
Even I couldn't hack it to make it go critical with zero critical.
Laser fix it.
Oh my god, that reminds me. Oh, by the way, I'm Blazer, and this guy is DH Ninja.
Hi, I don't show up ever anywhere, but I'm existing and I live.
Indeed. He's a longtime member of the Fire Emblem community, though he's kind of a lurker. But regardless, he knows enough about the Fire Emblem community, so we're bringing him in today. So first of all, before I really get into anything for today's episode, I want to make a quick correction about Olivia Knights. So, in the last episode, I was really stupid, and I didn't do enough research, and I really apologize for my stupidity and lack of foresight. I said Arabian Nights was Arabian K-N-I-G-H-T-S, and I made up, like, some other shit, like, that I shouldn't have done. Like, I thought I knew what I was talking about, but I really didn't. So, just to make sure I don't make the same mistake again, I'm going to literally quote what Arch, who made the hack, said to me. And he was very kind about correcting it, even though I was a total idiot. So he said that Arabian Nights definitely doesn't refer to knights as in warriors. It's actually a collection of folktales compiled in Arabian. So the stories within the book are told by Scheherazade. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but...
Scheherazade.
Okay, sorry. A wife of Persian king Shahryar. I'm probably not saying that right either. So the king would marry a new virgin every day, killing the previous one. So Scheherazade, to spare her life, told the ruler exciting stories. Think like tales. So the king would spare her life each day to hear the next tale. And and if you take that into the EN parallel, the Olivian Nights is split into tales, various tales. And you can see various parallels with the Olivian Nights storytellers and the brat that they entertain at the beginning. So I thought that was very interesting. And then there's also the name kind of pun. It's a very punny name. So, all right, with that being said, today's episode, we're going to start off with some Fire Emblem cameo stuff. Yeah. So, DH Ninja, have you ever played any video games and seen any Fire Emblem cameos?
Nope.
Nope, me neither. I'll be honest, they are, while they do exist, they're not, like, extremely obvious. So, sorry?
Well, I think it has more to do with the fact that Fire Emblem is one of the lesser-known Nintendo series.
True.
Not to say that it's not good, it's just that it was brought over into the States around the time Melee was introduced.
Right, 2002 is when the first game came out, I believe, and that's relatively late, so... 2002 or 3.
Considering there had already been 5 or 6 other games.
Yeah, it definitely took a while for them to finally bring it over to the U.S. So, in Kirby Superstar, there's the weapon Falcon makes a quick cameo. Sadly, in the English version of Kirby Superstar, the Falcon's just referred to as a sword. But in the remake, Kirby Superstar Ultra, the Falcon is again referred to as the Falcon, as it should, as the original cameo intended to be. There are also some other cameos, like Paper Mario, the Thousand Year Door, makes a quick reference to this game called Fire Emblem. Obviously, we know very well what Fire Emblem is. Donkey Konga 3, Daigeso Band Brothers, Trace Memory, Another Code, Two Memories, references Path of Radiance. Glory of Heracles makes a quick reference to Arcania. the place in Fire Emblem 11, 12, 1, 3 on that continent. And then Metal... Sorry?
Morph's continent.
Yeah. And then Metal Combat, Falcon's Revenge, the level-up music from Dark Dragon and Sword of Light, a.k.a. Shadow Dragon, and Fire Emblem Gaiden was used in Metal Combat, Falcon's Revenge, which was also developed by Intelligent Systems. So that's pretty interesting. But those small cameos aside, there is one rather bigger kind of cameo that we did want to get into, and that is the Super Smash Bros. Series, which is very popular and very well-known. And obviously, well, I shouldn't say obviously, but Marth and Roy made their first appearance in Super Smash Bros. Melee, and DH Ninja, Marth or Roy?
Marth is better. Roy is a bit of a ripoff of Marth. Roy was placed in Melee to promote the release of Fire Emblem 6 in Japan. I just choked because I was insulting one of my mains. Roy was introduced in Melee to help promote the release of Fire Emblem 6 in Japan. Marth is better in about every way, and he's rated higher on the Melee tier list I play.
Oh, tiers are for queers, man. Tiers are for queers. I can't believe you brought that up. Jokes aside, I personally made Roy, and I remember I used to always fight with my brother, Marth vs. Roy. We'd have these epic battles, and eventually he mentioned to me about Fire Emblem, and a lot of people got into Fire Emblem because of Super Smash Bros. Melee, which is great, because Fire Emblem is a great series, so I would be kind of sad if I didn't know about it. And then with Brawl, Roy got kind of kicked out, which was very sad, and he got replaced with Ike, which had a few like similar features to Roy. Generally speaking, very powerful, and he has a couple fire attacks, mainly his B, I forget what it's called, I think it might be called Eruption. And,
It's Eruption.
Eruption, and then, Great Aether. So, I mean, he's not really like Roy, but, at the time, Path of Radiance and Radiant Dawn were either coming out, or I think Path of Radiance had come out, and Radiant Dawn was either coming out, or had just come out.
Radiant Dawn had been released by the time, Brawl had, been on the way.
Yeah, so...
So, it was already... well and out, and I remember playing Radiant Dawn waiting for Brawl to come out, and it was good.
I didn't really feel too happy about Radiant Dawn, so I bought it, and then I played a little bit, and then like I waited another year to actually play it. But regardless, Ike is a cool guy. He's very powerful, though actually Marth is still higher on the tier list. And so the reason why I believe that Marth stayed is because he's kind of the mascot of Fire Emblem now. He's been in Fire Emblem 1, 3, 11, 12, and 13. So practically every character is in 13. But regardless, he's been in so many Fire Emblem games, and he is like the first main character of the Fire Emblem series, and now he's also been in Melee and Brawl. I do expect him to be in the next Super Smash Bros. Series, almost definitely. I would be very, very surprised if Marth were not in Super Smash Bros. Universe, or whatever it's called, which is very, it's a very big work in progress. Like, very little is known about it, to my knowledge. Right, DH?
I don't know anything about the next Smash Bros. Other than it's supposed to come out on the Wii U.
Yeah, and 3DS too, I believe.
I don't know anything, and I'm hoping they more or less keep the same formula that they've been using, though I've heard rumors that they're going to deviate, which makes me sad face.
Well, a little deviation might be okay, but they definitely want to stick to what made it popular in the first place. Don't deviate from that, otherwise they're just going to lose it. But I mean, deviating to kind of broaden the scope of things and perhaps improve on... Not improve, but kind of add to what it already was. I mean, like, the core of Brawl... Or, sorry, the core of the Super Smash Bros. Series, I feel, is very good. There's not much to improve there, but I feel like they could definitely add on more. Obviously, add on more characters, add on a few more features. But you don't want to take the simplicity in a way of the characters and... definitely balanced the game a little bit better than Brawl. That was a lot of complaints were on how Brawl was very imbalanced. Obviously, Meta Knight was banned from tournaments, which is very interesting.
Yeah, Meta Knight OP.
Yeah, right. For those who don't know, OP means overpowered. So with that saying, I think Crom might make an appearance in the next Super Smash Bros. DH, I don't know how much you know about the next Fire Emblem game, Fire Emblem Awakening. It's been out in Japan for a while. It has been announced for, a localization has been announced for the U.S., or sorry, North America and Europe. With that being said, his name has been localized as Crom, C-H-R-O-M. So I do think that being the main character of Awakening, he'll probably make an appearance, especially because the game was received so well in Japan, and there's so much DLC content for it. Amongst other things, I just feel like they're definitely going to take advantage of that, and definitely, like, in a way, like, advertise him with the new Fire Emblem game.
I think that you're right in that Crom will probably make an appearance in next Smash Bros., I don't think that they'll put Marth away. They won't shelve Marth. They might shelve Ike. I don't know.
Yeah, me neither. I'd be sad.
Ike was promoted because he was the most recent Lord, and I think they were looking for a replacement for Roy, who was, you can't deny, he was a Marth clone, and his mechanics were almost 100% exactly the same.
Oh, that's a little... Alright, well, I don't want to get into a 20-minute debate about Martha versus Roy.
Smash Bros. Is something near and dear to my heart. We'll move on. Anyway, I gave my 2 cents about that. I could talk all day about that. We could just have a 20-minute thing on Smash Bros. If we really wanted to.
I know, probably. So I was also thinking, like they also had bosses in the in Brawl and like the first player story mode, campaign mode, or whatever you want to call it. And, like, they had, like, Ridley from Metroid, and I was thinking they might have, like, Medius or Gimli, like, some sort of, like, dark dragon who could kind of represent the evil or the enemy in Fire Emblem. They could also potentially have the Black Knight, though he's a bit outdated, but in a way, since he appeared in 2 games and he's such, like, a major antagonist, but he's also, like, he's also human, so I feel like they'd have an easier time, perhaps, giving him kind of incentive, as opposed to, I feel like Medius and Gimli are just, like, pure, like, evil dragons, and I don't know how they'd fit in as well. Yeah, I mean, there's potential for here and there. I don't actually know if they're gonna include any antagonist in the next Fire Emblem game, but if they do, there are definitely some options there, and it'd be nice to see, because it definitely spread more word of Fire Emblem. You know, to see, like, oh, who is this, like, badass dragon in the game? And be like, oh, it's from Fire Emblem. It's like, oh, God, I want to play this game, right? So I think that would definitely be a good thing.
They'll likely go with whatever everybody knows. If they were going to insert somebody, it's going to be current, it's going to be known, and it's going to match up with whoever's currently in the game. Which one is Gimli? He's the pale-looking, he's the gray-skinned, evil guy, looks like death. I don't know.
Honestly, I know he's an Awakening,
what
but
we're talking about, I don't know who Gimli is.
No, honestly, I don't want to say too much about Gimli. All I know is that he's an Awakening, and he's an antagonist in Awakening. So I'm not even gonna say any more than that. Like, I haven't even spoiled myself, so even if I wanted to say more, I couldn't. So I'm gonna refrain from speaking about that. I was just kind of giving out names for potential antagonist in the next Super Smash Bros. Alright, well, with that, speaking of the next Fire Emblem game, so we missed Fire Emblem 12, as everyone knows, but the translation patch is almost done. Funny thing, so there's, I believe, one beta tester left to finish the game. They said they'd finish by the weekend, and the weekend is almost over, so hopefully they finish by tonight. After that, it should take about a week to fix up the remaining issues, as best as possible for as best as Vincent ASM can, and then after that the patch should be out. Now, with that being said, the patch should be out by the end of November, like almost definitely. It might actually be out by November 27th, 2012, and the reason why this date has significance is because I believe on the forums, the now dead Fire Emblem 12 translation forums, I was, like, joking around, like, people were asking, like, when's the patch gonna come out and stuff, so I just, like, threw out, like, a random date. I was, like, November 27th, 2012. Like, what, like, the first date that came, at the top of my head. And for the record, I like the number 7, so that's why I picked 27. Alright, anyway. So, I just picked, like, a random date, and, like, it's actually very feasible for it to finish on November 27th. So that would be very interesting if my random guess would have been right. And then, well, not guess, but...
You should have been more specific. You should have been like, it's going to come out November 27, 2012. Exactly at...
3:32 p.m. 3:32 p.m.
Yeah, I swear. Never again.
You know, I should put the download... I should, like put the download link before it's even ready and just make everyone constantly refresh until it's actually uploaded. Because I could essentially, like, predict the download link for the thing based off of the file name. So that would be very interesting if I did that. But regardless, another thing is that would mean the beta testing period took about, took exactly 1 month. So I believe it started on October 27th or 26th or 28th, one of them. It started around there. So it means it would have taken exactly 1 month for the beta test to finish. So that would be a very interesting date in two aspects. And our last thing, our hack of the day. Oh yeah, getting hacky with Blazer and DH Ninja. So, a Sacred Dawn DX. DH Ninja, why don't you tell us a little bit about a Sacred Dawn DX? Who made it? What's it like?
A little bit about it. I know that it's pretty much a bit of an overhaul of what Mage Knight 404 was working on. To be honest, I didn't play the game that came before that, but I knew of it. I knew of his project that was going on, and I kind of saw a little bit of progress that was going on here and there with it. I think this was a mod of Fire Emblem 8, and I had played through it a little bit. Mostly it just follows a couple of his original characters, and I think there are cameos all throughout the actual game, unless he changed this.
Mm-hmm. I do believe.
Certainly outdated. Sorry.
So I do believe several members of the Dawn Brigade make an appearance. I believe Mage Knight 404 is a fan of the Dawn Brigade. So a Sacred Dawn DX is like a kind of like a remake of a Sacred Dawn, which never actually finished. But essentially, he wanted to up the quality and everything else, and he's done a very nice job. A Sacred Dawn DX is one of the few progressing Fire Emblem hacks with custom events and everything else. His graphical skills are very good. I mean, they're, what do you call it, something that's above par, because that's what it is. So,
superb. Outstanding, yes. Amazing, orgasmic?
Oh, okay then. you just went there. But yeah, it's very nice. The story is also taking a nice turn in general. I definitely check that out. You should be able to check that out on Serenus Forest or subscribe to Mage Knight 404's YouTube account. He occasionally uploads videos for a Sacred Dawn. I don't believe he actually let's plays them. I believe he just he plays them and then he just kind of edits the music to be more fitting, which is very interesting. Perhaps, I don't actually know why he doesn't let's play, but maybe he doesn't want to speak too much about his own hack to either avoid spoilers or perhaps, I mean, it is kind of hard when you play your own hack not to really like it and then, like, make it seem kind of, I don't know, like, egotistical. So perhaps that's a reason he's not let's playing it. But regardless, I don't believe there's any patch out for Sacred Dawn DX. You'd have to check that out. We are going to end the day with a remix. Now, this remix will take about 5 minutes and 30 seconds. It is by DJVS.com. And I don't believe there's actually a website, DJVS.com, but that's like his YouTube username. He's a very skilled remixer. He's been remixing music for several years. He doesn't do too many Fire Emblem songs, but he did this one Fire Emblem medley. It's called In the Name of the Medley, I believe. And In the Name of These, I believe, is a reference to In the Name of Burn. And it's a medley of various Fire Emblem songs, and it's very good. It's like a kind of electronic dance music kind of theme. You'll just have to listen to it yourself and tell us what you think of the remix. So with that, I'm Blazer.
I'm DH Ninja.
Indeed. And that is it for Episode 3 of Fire Emblem. See you guys. Bye.